AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, let's go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. 2 hours for us tonight because we have Thursday night football on the station. Right off the top, Rodney, and we've got a lot to get to here in this first segment today.
Yes, 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 Freddie. Let's go.
The pretzel attack. yeah. There was an attack with a pretzel, and the perpetrator, the person that committed the crime, the person that tossed the pretzel, was the wife of Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. Kelly Stafford threw a pretzel at a fan during the game in San Francisco. Now, what would possess her to throw a pretzel? And by the way, we know of this because she has now apologized for
yes.
her heinous act of throwing a pretzel at someone.
Yes.
She apologized because there was an altercation in the stands because the person was attacking Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
Saying unkind things about the Rams and yes. the Rams quarterback. And Kelly Stafford had had enough and threw a pretzel at him.
Yes.
She was then moved.
When you're the...
she was then moved to another yes. area in the stadium.
Yes, yes. You know, in some places, Fred, when you're not the home team and, you know, home families are somewhat protected because they're in a certain area and they're protected. Whereas, you know, when you go on the road and you get these family tickets or these tickets, they could be, you know, they're in certain sections, but they're also other home fans are around you a lot of times. And unless you're in the box, then you're going to be subjected to all of the nastiness that happens in the stands. And believe me, they are nasty, and I don't care where you go. In San Francisco, I will just tell you, I have a personal experience in San Francisco.
Really?
Fred, with the fans and my wife, Holly.
Well, do tell.
Oh, yeah.
Do tell.
Oh, yeah. So I get it. I understand the frustration, and because fans can be nasty. Once they figure out who you are and figure out who you're there to see, I mean, obviously it's obvious that, you know, you're rooting for that team because you're probably wearing their paraphernalia. But then they find out that you actually are related to one of the players, then they go all in. A lot of nasty fans will go all in. Needs to be more security. So I'm on the Cowboys. My 1 year with the Cowboys, and we're playing the 49ers, an old candlestick for the NFC title game. In 94 to see who goes to the Super Bowl. And we get down early to them and could never really recover. I think they scored 21 points in the first 8 minutes of the game, and we spotted them and then, you know, made it a game, made it close, but we couldn't climb all the way back. But anyway, so they were going from day one, from the snap, from early in the game, the fans were in it and they were loud and they were taunting and of course, you know, and those Cowboy, you know, fans and family that they recognize, and then they saw Holly was there, and there was one point when they were up pretty good, and the fans were going nuts. I think they just scored a touchdown, and they yelled to Holly, "You ain't jumping now, Jump Street." She said she was torn between being so mad and wanted to do a Kelly Stafford and throw something at the guy, and also being kind of amused that he was so brilliant and his comeback about Jump Street.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. But yeah, she would tell me how nasty it could get in the fans when you're the opposing team. So I get it. You know. So what happened? So she took a pretzel that she was eating, or somebody was eating, the fan was ragging Stafford, and she actually threw it at him?
Yeah, she threw a pretzel at somebody. She then said, I'm an idiot. He was saying a bunch of things that were aggressive toward our crew, but zero excuse. I would try to apologize, but in the end, I knew I was wrong. Will always stand up for my guy and everyone I love, but obviously needed to do it completely different. I'm embarrassed too. Sorry you had to witness me in my weak moment. Her weak moment of throwing a pretzel at someone in San Francisco. But you know, I get it, Rodney. I get wanting to defend your family member.
Yes.
I mean, I get
that. Didn't you have to go sit somewhere up high when Jack was playing one time? Or that's just they just make you sit away from the family when you're
watching. I had to move.
No, it's got to be tough to be up there and to hear everything. Like I said, people are vicious, you know, and they don't care. It's your family. They feel like, you know, we talk about this all the time, that people go into an arena or a stadium, feel like they paid their money and they have the right to say and pretty much do whatever they want to because they paid to get into the venue.
Rodney.
And that's not the case.
Rodney, I don't mean to interrupt, but we have a special guest calling in now.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, that can lend some perspective, I believe, on this.
Really?
Yeah. Let's bring the special guest on now. The special guest is your wife, Holly Robinson Peete. Hello, Holly.
You chiming in, huh?
Hi, Fred. Yeah, you guys know I listen to the show every day, so you know I had to call in on this one.
All right, so what happened in San Francisco? Rodney told a story. You were in San Francisco.
Which one was that? That was a sit-down Jump Street?
Yes.
You ain't jumping out Jump Street one? Fred, yes. I have so many stories. I have a diary of a crazy NFL wife stories. I have so many of them. But, San Francisco, Rodney, what happened? I don't even remember. There's so many. What happened? Someone was yelling at me
it was the Cowboys. Yeah, it was the Cowboys, and we were in the championship game, and they got off to a big lead to start with, and they were just taunting you and everybody that was Cowboys in that section. So I told the story of the guy
So I was standing up, and then, you know, when obviously we were playing well, when things were good, and then when we were, you know, got scored on or something, they were all saying, you ain't jumping now, Jump Street. Like, they were coming at me. But that wasn't the worst one, Rodney. That was just like, you know, no one was cussing at me. They were just teasing me. And you got to have a thick skin as a quarterback's wife. That's the number one thing. And you would think that Matthew Stafford's wife would have a thicker skin at this point. Because I had to develop that armadillo skin. You have to develop it because you just can't let everything get to you, so you can't respond. Now,
wait. Are you sitting there saying you got to have a thick skin? Like no one in the stands could set you off, no matter how many years you've been in the league. No, somebody said something.
Well, I mean, this is in hindsight, honey. I'm out of the league now.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
In hindsight. But I have had my moments. What I did have, though, Fred, was the advantage of not having social media during these days.
Yes. Yeah, that was a big difference.
That would have changed the game. I probably would have got Rodney cut from all his teams. because that just puts you at the forefront. Like, I doubt anybody would have seen Kelly Stafford do that if it wasn't for social media. That said, I have been in the stands, and the one that bothered me the most was when I was in the stands for Super Bowl in 2004 when some drunk Patriots fans came up and started harassing my children. Now, that's when you see Philadelphia Holly come out, because that's off limits. Like, I can handle them cussing at me or yelling at me. But that's off limits when you try to come after somebody's kids and someone said, your dad sucks or your dad's losing today or, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's very, very hard to deal with. But I have to say that at some point you do have to develop a thicker skin, and you just can't be throwing pretzels. Now, I have had pretzels thrown at me. I once got the last piece of cheesesteak. You know, that last piece, if you're from Philly, you understand that last bite, boy. Someone took that last bite of cheesesteak, Fred, and threw it at the back of my head.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Why?
I was going to say, you know, we talked about being on the road. Some of the toughest ones, Fred, was when I played in Philadelphia, and it was the home crowd.
Yeah, and one time, Fred, we got all these tickets for my relatives because I'm from Philly, and I heard somebody say, Pete, you suck, and I turned around and it was my Aunt Jane. I was like, Aunt Jane, didn't we get you these tickets? Like, I'm confused. So Philadelphia is a whole nother story, but in the end, you just have to keep your cool. You can't go around as the quarterback's wife throwing stuff at people in the stands. I have never done that, Rodney P. I might have cussed some people out.
No.
But I've never thrown anything, right?
But you got to know, it had to be pretty bad for her to throw a pretzel, you know. And this is a regular season game. It wasn't a playoff game. It was a regular season game for her to throw a pretzel. It had to be pretty vicious.
I've been a Detroit wife. I've been a Philadelphia wife. I've never been a Rams wife, a Rams sister-in-law. My brother-in-law used to coach for them. But those are two difficult places to play. And those fan bases are especially difficult. So I learned very early that you have to thicken your skin. Rodney's right. I was a little thin-skinned at the beginning because I couldn't figure out how anybody's going to be standing there cussing out your husband with you sitting right there. But in the end, it's a life lesson. And you're getting paid a lot of money. You're in the, you know, your husband's in the crosshairs, so you gotta represent. I don't know. Did she say what was said? What did they say to her?
They basically
to make her throw the pretzel.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep laughing. What they say to her to make her throw the pretzel? You never throw a pretzel or anything like that. I don't know why that's funny to me. Basically,
Fred, you're laughing at Aunt Jane. You're laughing at my Aunt Jane because she gave Rodney so much crap.
Yeah, I mean your own family member.
Own family member. They used to torture us. And, but listen, again, you got to represent your man, and you have to try to do it with dignity and class. You can't be throwing pretzels at people. That said, you know, I can't say it's right, but I understand.
All right. Holly, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope I provided some clarity for you all.
You did.
Yeah, it kind of changed over the years, talking about you developed some thick skin. I thought that was to the end because, you know, Super Bowl, Fred, that was in my 15th year at Carolina. So I don't know what she's talking about.
You know what I took from this story? I mean, and again, Holly's lived it. She's been in the crowd. She's experienced these things. The thing I took from this story, I don't want to mess with Aunt Jane.
No, and begging for tickets all the time.
Begging for tickets and hit her with a cheesesteak.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that.
All right. Lakers, Lakers won last night. Well, they didn't play.
They had a shot. They had a shot, Fred. They climbed back in it and just can't close, Fred.
No, and you know, LeBron, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be ready to go on Friday. But, hey, this is big news. I mean, it's to a point now. It's actually gotten to a point, and I can't remember when it's been like this, but maybe this should put a smile on Laker fans' faces. It's gotten to a point where Frank Vogel has now entered moral victory time. Frank Vogel is now awarding moral victories. Granted, they lost. First, they were better than they were, so you go, okay, well, that's better. They still lost, but it's moral victory time. Because afterwards, Frank said, you know what? That's the best Russell Westbrook has looked. That's the best he's looked. You still lost, Frank. You lost another game. That's the best he's looked. Moral victory time. We're to that point.
Stop it.
Yeah, we are.
Did he say that? Hey, that was a good loss for us. Hey, that we can benefit from. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say anything like that. He pointed out that Russell Westbrook, which I agree with him, played probably his best game. And the way he distributed the ball, I looked at it. He turned down a number of wide open threes and went to the basket, Fred. I was impressed with him. So for him to say and point out in a loss that a player played well, that's not saying it's a moral victory. That's pointing out a fact that, hey, my guy has evolved. My guy played well tonight. It wasn't saying, oh, this was a good loss for us. Oh, yes, we came close, and we played well in the fourth, and we fought them guys, and that's great. He didn't do that. He just pointed out that Westbrook played well. That's not saying, oh, that's a moral victory. No such thing.
Well, you heard what you wanted to hear, and I heard what I wanted to hear.
Stop. So he can't compliment anybody in a loss, is what you're saying. So if somebody goes off, in a loss, he can't say, ooh, whoever it may be, Malik Monk, whoever it may goes off and the Lakers happen to lose, he can't mention that person.
Not right
now.
Can't
say anything about it.
Not right now.
Oh, God.
Not until they turn it around.
Please.
We learned something else last night. We already knew it. People are now writing about it. Maybe they listen to the show. I don't know. But we did learn this. If LeBron doesn't play, the Lakers don't win. Now we know that. I mean, we said that. Now people are writing that. They don't win. You would think LeBron is gone, but we got Russ.
Let me ask you, last night, did they win?
Did the Lakers win?
Do they win with LeBron on the court last night, the way they played?
What I'm saying is with LeBron, they'll win.
Last night against Milwaukee, when Milwaukee was at full strength.
Yeah, I think they would have won if LeBron's at full strength. Yeah, absolutely.
And if they took Giannis off that team, I think the Lakers win that game.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, it's kind of hard because that's what the team was built for, right? To if one of them, Anthony Davis or LeBron, were out, then they, you know, Russ and some others would be able to pick up the slack offensively. And they'd be able to win some games. And that has not been the case, which is the troubling part. Because now you're looking at it, and, you know, we held our breath always if LeBron went down or AD went down. Now they can't afford to go down.
Well, and the concern here really is to prevent a large drop-off if either one of those guys went down.
Yeah.
You have Russell Westbrook.
That was the goal.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. It's not enough. That's not enough. Is there anyone that would have been enough? I don't know. But this is not enough. No LeBron. Going to be tough sledding, even with AD and Russell
Westbrook. I think, and there's always going to be something in a loss. I mean, you can't say I do think that Russ played well enough for them to win. Look, they missed, I want to say, 11 threes in a row down the stretch in the fourth quarter or whatever they missed, some wide open ones that when they were digging themselves right back into the game and had chances to take the lead and really either close the gap or take the lead, they missed them. And they went cold from three, and they had some great looks of Russ, you know, driving and kicking. Anthony Davis getting double teamed and kicking, and they missed some key buckets down the stretch. So and then there was no defense in Giannis. I think the way they played him down the stretch was unusual. The place should have stayed in that zone, because when he ends up on Taylor Horton Tucker, or he ends up on and Wayne Ellington or somebody like that, or even Rondo a few times, it's just a bucket, right? And you're just hoping it's not an and one, which he got several times down the stretch.
One other note on the Lakers. Frank Vogel's had enough when it comes to AD. He's simply had enough. He's not putting up with this anymore. He is sending to the league office a tape of their gripes and basically saying, how does AD not get to the foul line more?
Exactly.
How does a guy...
Did you not see that? Do you not feel that?
I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing.
Okay, good.
But he's saying, how does a guy like Anthony Davis not get to the foul line more? So they put together a tape of examples to send to the league office. But my suggestion is, I mean, if you want to send something to the league office and try to get something taken care of, I would just send entire games and claim elder abuse. That's what I would do.
Jesus. That was a long, drawn-out joke by Shecky at the... Pacoima Hilton Ballroom. Jesus. Saw that one coming a mile away.
You started shaking your... You know what was so bad? As I kept going, you're just shaking your head no. I didn't even get to give you the line, and you're just shaking your head no. Something you can't know.
No,
I couldn't have telegraphed it like that.
No, yes, you did.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you did. But I get it. And listen, this it's not like unusual, because every team does this. Every team sends in clips to the league office to, hey, this is what's happening on a regular basis, and what you got to be, you know, and that's your gamesmanship with the league and the officiating, is you got to play that game. It's just like somebody, you know, bitching all game long that somebody's fouling. Eventually, they're going to start looking at it a little bit harder. But that's not the, you know, sole reason why the Lakers are losing. They're just out of sorts, and they, you know, for whatever reason, don't have any kind of rhythm or continuity, and mainly because so many guys have been in and out of the lineup and they haven't played well together or played long enough together. But I'm looking at that game, and there were a number of times where AD's not going to the line, but Giannis gets a feather on him, and he's going to the line.
Or even
Middleton on that last one, on the three, you know, they call him a foul. He's jumping in to Taylor Horton Tucker, and Tucker's away, and they still call a foul on him. The dunk that AD had, that Giannis came behind and hit him in the head and in the arm, no foul call on that one. I mean, they got a legitimate excuse. How long will it go with the league or whatever? They'll look at it and maybe roll their eyes, but you got to send it in to send them a message, let them know where, you know, this is happening. And subconsciously, maybe officiating starts to go, okay, yeah, we got to take a closer look.
Right, and they're also sending it to the AARP. Didn't telegraph that one as much, did I?
No, you didn't.
That was kind of a bam. Snuck that in real quick.
Yes, yes. Help me with my medical.
All right. We didn't get to Chris Taylor. All right, we'll do it real fast. David Vasse reported this, by the way. We got this report and going, oh, wham, somebody really knows something. It's David Vasse, but Dave does know. And among the teams interested in Chris Taylor, you nailed this about 3 weeks ago. So I'll give you props on that. You said the Giants, Farhan would take a serious run at him. And Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward used to be a Dodger coach. He's a manager in Texas.
Yep.
So those two teams are the among the interested teams in pursuing Chris Taylor. The more I hear about Chris Taylor, and he's the one guy I would hold on to. You know, that's why maybe I'm not making the decisions over there, but I would hold on to him.
Yeah.
It seems to me that he might be gone. Seriously, Rodney.
Yeah, yeah. He's gonna command a lot of money. And for what he does as a utility guy, you know, we love Chris Taylor. And what it, I think that he's as valuable as a guy that's a, you know, one-position player. I mean, he can do a lot of things for you and do them well. So to me, yeah, he's a guy that you really do everything you can to hold on to. But who knows what his price is going to be? That's the scary part about it, because the two teams you're talking about got money to spend and they can overpay to get him, which I think may happen.
Thing I don't understand, and I just don't get this. Well, he's a utility guy. I look at it like this. He's a starting player who can play anywhere. Not a utility guy you plug in.
Right. Yeah, and that's the difference.
Right. He can play 162. He can play 150 games. Right? Yep. He can play 160 games if he's not hurt. He can play every single day. So when people say he's a utility guy, I go, but he's really not. He's a starting guy.
Because he doesn't play, he doesn't play every fourth day or every fifth day. You know, he's in the lineup at some position. On a reg, like you said, 150 games out of the year, he's in the lineup. When not hurt, he's in the lineup. So he's not, you can't look at him as a utility guy.
Right. So if you pay him, you're paying a starting player that can play everywhere. That means maybe you don't pay somebody else quite as much. He could play left field for 2 weeks. He could play third base. He could play second base. He could play shortstop. He could play center field. He could play right field. So maybe one of those guys doesn't make as much money. So you can hold on to him. Look at him as a starting player, not a utility guy.
Gotta be sad to see him in a Giant uniform playing us 19, 20 times a year.
You better bite your tongue. Okay, later this hour, we're going to play Who Dis. We have a prize for Who Dis. I'll tell you what the prize is right now.
Oh, what is it?
It's
USC-UCLA tickets.
No, please. They're giving those away in the corner.
Hey! Anybody want my tickets? Anybody want my tickets?
No, we got Chargers-Steelers tickets. How about that? Chargers-Steelers.
I like that. All right. Yes.
That's the prize.
Good Sunday.
Yeah, that's the prize for Who Dis. When we come back, one of the great guys. Great guys. Austin Eckler will join us.
Rogan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. On a throwback Thursday. Loving every minute of it, Fred. Let's go, Rodney, Pete, Fred, Rogan. Oh!
Gotta clear this up.
Come on, Fred.
Some confusion.
Clear it up, baby.
So we talked about Kelly Stafford, Matthew Stafford's wife, throwing a pretzel at a fan. This happened in San Francisco. Well, Jesse tweets the show, wait, You mean to tell me that you're talking about Stafford's wife throwing a pretzel at a fan? You're missing the real story here. She found a pretzel at SoFi Stadium? That's the real story. Took me an hour to find one at the last home game. Look, this is not about finding a pretzel at SoFi Stadium. This had to do with Kelly Stafford throwing a pretzel at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara. That's what happened. And now a man who I'm sure has been hit by many objects during his life.
Well, let's ask him if he's been hit by a pretzel, though, Fred.
Let's bring on a friend, Austin Eckler from the Chargers. Austin, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on, man.
All right, listen. Listen. Have you ever been hit by a pretzel? Yes or no?
No. Not that I can remember.
You've been hit by big guys, but, you know, Matthew Stafford's wife threw a pretzel at somebody the other night in San Francisco, and it caused a whole hullabaloo.
Hey. You did.
No, hey, Austin. Stands.
Yeah, I mean, have you had a family member get heated in the stands while they watch you play?
I mean, just verbally, yes, but nothing, no physical altercations or throwing things. That's a little too much. But yeah, definitely verbal for sure. I know my mom is up there making a lot of noise, and a lot of opposing fans don't really like that.
Yep. And there's always, you know, for me, it was always that uncle that I couldn't invite to the games. You know, he always, or that cousin, you know, you had to have that hour conversation with before they went to the game.
Right.
Hey, Austin, last Sunday night when you were on the show, we asked you about, you know, what's happened to the team and where you're at. And I told Rodney what you said here on Monday. I thought it was great. You go, yeah, I've been here before. We're on a fence. We can go either go one way or the other way. The first part of this question is, how'd you get on the fence?
Right. I think it just came down to us making adjustments to the season and not really being as sharp as, you know, we were with our, you know, beginning game plan at the beginning of the year. You know, when you go through training camp and OTAs and everything, you're running the same plays over and over. You know, that's great for the first few weeks, but then you get into the season, now you got to start making adjustments. And then, you know, when you make those adjustments, you got to be able to execute those at a high level. And if there's some inconsistency in there, that's when you see a drop off. And I think that's what we've been going through. Right? I think we've been, you know, we're not struggling, but we're just not as consistent as we were in the very beginning. When we were really on it, even defense, I'm talking all three phases, not just offense, really. Just when we're making these little tackles, instead of getting a 7-yard run, it's a 3-yard run. You know, we're catching the ball, we're in the right spots. And so it just comes down to us being on it when it comes to these new game plans and, you know, teams trying to scheme us.
Yeah, and the other answer to that, Fred, is the NFL. I mean, it's the way a season goes. And I don't remember, Austin, I can't remember the last time that we looked at a season and we kind of figured out, because you guys were 4-1 at one point, and we were like, okay, the Chargers are going to be tough to beat. They're going to, you know, I think one group had you guys at, what was it, Fred, 13-4 or something like that?
Yeah, 13-4.
And then we looked up and it's Tampa Bay's doing this and Buffalo's doing it, and Buffalo goes and loses to Jacksonville. You know, Tampa Bay gets beat by Washington. The Dallas Cowboys get beat by, you know, blown out by Denver. So you don't know what's going on week to week. Do you look at this is especially in the AFC and in more particularly your division, it's still wide open and nobody's really taking the bull by the horns.
It's definitely, you know, been exciting to watch, you know. Games, but we're watching the league right now, watching the games. It's just crazy because, like you said, all these teams that you're expecting to win are not winning. And it's like, man, like who's going to show up this week? There's fun teams, some good performances out here, but some teams that you're expecting to lose or don't have as much faith in. And so, yeah, I think it's making some exciting football just across the league.
Austin Eckler with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM570 LA Sports. Okay, if you went to the weight room, You could lift more than anybody on the team, couldn't you?
Pretty close, yeah.
That's right. That's right, yes. Rodney.
Pound for pound, the strongest cat in the league, from what I understand. Have you always been that way from day one, Austin? Just a person that lived in the weight room?
Yeah, man. It just became part of my life, and honestly, it like came therapeutic for me, and then obviously it translated to the football field for me. But even like my freshman year of college, I came in, I was already one of the strongest guys on the team. And I was like, what the heck? And it was like, for me, I thought this was normal, right? And then I get to the college and like, I'm still lifting more than everyone here. And then the same thing got to the NFL. I'm like, man, I'm still lifting more than everyone here. But I guess it just, you know, became a part of my life and has just made me really compact. And I just do a lot more lifting than I guess other guys do. And it shows as far as just the way I run and what I'm able to do. I think it helps, right? I like to say I lift myself in the NFL. I have this small frame, but, you know, I'm really, you know, I'm a, like a bursty type of runner and then just strong lower body. So definitely helps my game out.
Yeah, you know, and I love the mindset because, and you know this probably as you came along as a running back, a lot of people look at your size and your stature and just automatically think, okay, he's a scat back or he's not going to run between the tackles or we'll use him on third down, that kind of situation. Did that play into anything of you getting stronger just to let people know that, hey, you can take a punch? And that you needed to be stronger in order to prove to people that you can run between the tackles.
Yeah, you know, shoot, you know, I mean, the NFL is a progression, right? You know, so coming in as a rookie, you know, I'm on special teams, and I start getting, you know, some pass plays here and there, and that's how it was. That was the perception of Austin. Like, okay, you know, we can throw him in on some passing downs. That's where I really started out. So, you know, hey, you got to catch the ball, especially with Phillip Rivers, you know, being a quarterback. Hey, he's not running it, so you got to be available, right, if he's trying to get rid of the ball. So I saw a lot of success there. And then, you know, throughout just the career, hey, get a few run plays in here. Oh, he can kind of run the ball too, you know, and started to gain some more just respect from the coaches and the league and start to put up some good numbers, make some plays, and you start just to earn, right? Everything NFL is earned. You got to continue to do it week in and week out. And with new opportunities coming, you got to take advantage or you lose those opportunities. And so it was just a big building process over the years. And now, you know, the Chargers are trusting me to be able to run the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield and be the starter right now. And so it's definitely been, you know, a part of that attack and lifting. It's definitely been a part of that, right? Because, I mean, it's allowed me to be on the back. You 40 pounds more than me, right? Like I said, I'm built with leverage. You know, I'm a lot smaller than these guys, but just as far as getting in the ball, it's kind of power, like it's some break. They say die a slow death, but hey, it's just block the guy.
All right. Austin, listen, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. Are you in a good sell spot? Say something. I want to see if it cleared up a little bit.
Can you hear me? Is it breaking up?
It was, but now you're fine.
Check.
All right, before I let you go.
Oh, my bad. Shoot. Sorry about that.
No, don't worry about it. Before we let you go, I was going to ask you to tell the story about how when we were getting ready to do the challenge, a rat chased you. But
what? Wait, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
You failed to mention that one, Fred.
All right, go ahead. Tell that story.
Man, so, yeah, you know, I'm getting ready to jump on the challenge. It's usually a good time, great energy on the show. So I'm outside this restaurant because I was about to go to dinner with my family. And I'm just, like, next to the, like, behind the building, next to the bushes and the heater and the trash cans. And, like, I'm just looking around, and all of a sudden, like, something out of the corner of my eye catches, like, there's something moving in the bush. And I was like, ah, whatever. And then, sure enough, like, a little bit later, this big furry thing comes running out of the bush. I mean, I have to, like, kick it away. I'm like, oh, boy, like, what a minute. You know, I'm not the most friendly of rats, you know, running at me. But, yeah, so that was my rat story, trying to, you know, get me ready for the challenge the other day.
Wait a minute. Normally, rats run away. They ran. The rat ran to you.
This one was running towards me. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe if y'all stand there for too long, it's going to check me out. But, yeah. Yeah, don't recommend doing the challenge behind the restaurant.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. Hey, get him on Sunday night, and I think we're going to talk to you right after the game Sunday, okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Okay, thanks, Austin. Take care. There goes Charger running back Austin Ekeler. He is just a great guy.
He did a great job not mentioning that restaurant, too. I was right behind so-and-so restaurant, and rats came at me. I don't think that would have been good for their marketing there, Fred.
No, we actually, it looks live, but we taped a segment at 7:30, and he's on. He goes, uh-oh. What do you mean, uh-oh? A rat's coming. We started laughing. Uh-oh. What? A rat's coming. He's a great guy, and good luck to the Chargers taking on the Steelers on Sunday night. And speaking of that, we want you to go to the game. We've got tickets to give away.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the deal. You've got to play Who Dis. If you call and say, I want the tickets, if you're the first caller, you're not going to win the tickets. Because you've got to play Who Dis. 866-987-2570. Whoever plays is going to the game. You call.
Do you got to win? Do they got to win Who Dis? Because I never lost, Fred. We might have to just give them away, huh?
You think so?
They don't have to win.
Never lost. All right. We'll just give them to them for playing.
Okay.
All right. You call. Kevin will pick you up, put you on the air. You're playing Rodney and Ronnie.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah.
Afternoon Delight.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites. From one of my favorite artists, today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder. This song appears on a 1985 album entitled In Square Circle and reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in November of that year. In addition to topping the charts in seven different countries, the song earned Wonder the Grammy Award for Best Male Pop Vocal. Again, today's Throwback Thursday edition of Afternoon Delight is Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette.
Who is this guy?
This is who I am.
Who is this guy?
Who this?
Who this? Who this?
Hi, right, Jack in Long Beach. You're ready to go.
What is going on, fellas? Hope everything is going well for you guys.
Well, everything is fine, Zach, and things are going well for you, because if you perform well, we'll send you to the game, all right?
Only if I perform well. Hey, I don't want to hear never lost right now.
Okay, let's go. Never lost. You know, I don't go easy on my kids when we compete. I'm not going easy on you. Let's go.
All right. Hey, Rodney, Pete, I'd expect nothing less. Let's get it.
There you go.
Ronnie, you ready?
Ready to go, Fred and Rod.
Good luck. It's who dis. When you know it, yell it out. Do not hesitate. I was the first overall pick in the 1996 NBA draft.
Allen Iverson.
Right out of the gate.
Good. Oh, we're coming in hot.
Coming in hot. Here's your next.
Love
one.
It.
I led the NFL in passing touchdowns in 2019.
Deshaun Watson.
Drew Brees.
How about
19.
And it is
Pat
no
Mahomes.
No Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady.
And it is no good.
Jared Goff. Russell Wilson.
How about new?
I was.
Whoa.
I was.
Go ahead.
I was the league MVP and first team All Pro in 2019 as well.
Lamar Jackson?
Jeez.
Lamar Jackson.
Hey, did you say he led the league in passing?
Yeah, in passing. He did?
Yes, he did.
Total touchdown.
He did, really? Touchdowns, yes.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
That's why he was unanimous, huh?
Yeah.
All right, here's the next one. I was a two-time NBA champ and two-time finals MVP.
Steph Curry.
No, senor!
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
How about you?
How about
Dwayne Wade?
And it is no good.
Chauncey Billups.
No good.
LeBron James.
And it is no good.
Bud. Didn't Chauncey win it one time in Detroit? Why are you laughing?
Two-time finals MVP.
Ooh, Hakeem Olajuwon?
Oh, my God.
Hakeem the Dream.
Look at Jack.
I'm trying to think of two-time.
I like it. Hakeem the Dream. Love it.
Hakeem the Dream.
Zach is red hot. I made 14 All-Star teams. I made 14 All-Star teams in my Hall of Fame baseball career.
Derek Jeter.
Jeets.
All right.
Oh, the one time I don't say Derek Jeter after all of these, and it is Derek Jeter.
Right.
Kind of show y'all time. Running here.
That, you know what? That's normally one of your go-tos.
Yes.
Even if it's a basketball
Always.
Question, you'll say Derek Jeter.
I will.
That reminds me of when Leanne Tweeden used to do this show. You know what she...
Oh, it does?
Hey, quick thing about Derek Jeter, guys. Wasn't he the last person to win the Commissioner's Award in the MLB? I believe he was. And this year, Shohei Ohtani
right.
won it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
They only hand that out to a few, you know, important individuals. So that's big volumes for Shohei. Yeah. Sorry to go off topic, but I had to shout that out.
No, but according to Carlos Correa, he should have never won a gold glove either.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Why does he bring that attention to himself?
I don't know.
Because he doesn't want to play in New York.
That's why.
That's why. But
yeah.
Oh, anyway, the Leanne tweeting.
But the Dodger fans are all weird.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. The Leanne tweeting thing, Rodney. It didn't matter who you were talking to. You could be talking to a baseball player, a soccer player. You could be talking to a professional diver or an auto racer. She would always ask a question about Corey Seager. Didn't matter who you were talking to. It was irrelevant. You're talking to LeBron James. You know, LeBron, what do you think of Corey Seager? Every time. She would ask a question about Corey Seager.
I believe that's a slight exaggeration, Fred.
It's really not.
As someone who was here every day with you in the end, a little bit of an exaggeration on that.
That is weird.
Wonder how Corey Seager's doing. I don't know. We're talking to an MMA guy.
What about that bull racing championship that we just witnessed? How about Corey Seager?
How would he have done it then?
You know, we're talking about Hakaho and the sumo wrestling championship, and he's... You know, how would Corey Seager do in that sumo wrestling? What do you think?
Everything was Corey Seager.
Terrible. I buy it, Fred. I believe you, Fred.
Thank you. You should, Rodney, because that was that was true.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, it wasn't.
I'm calling Fugazi on that, Fred.
No, it's true. All right, here's the next one. I was the 12th overall pick in the 2007 NFL draft.
Adrian Peterson. Matt Stafford.
How about 2007. 12th pick.
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald?
Seven.
No,
señor!
No.
Von Miller?
No.
And it is no good.
I made 5 Pro Bowls and led the league in rushing touchdowns twice.
Marshawn Lynch?
Ooh.
No.
Oh! Zach came to play. He came to play today.
Zach's not fooling around.
No.
Birthday weekend, boy. Let's go.
Love it.
Birthday weekend for you?
Yes, sir. And my dad today. Tom, happy birthday. Yes. He's on the 18th and I'm on the 22nd.
Outstanding.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
you and Tom,
it, guys.
Your dad.
Appreciate it.
Are you going to take your dad to the game on Sunday?
I'm going to have to ask him if he'd like to go because he, too, works for FedEx and, you know, his knees are and his back is taking a good dent over the years. So if he's not up to it, I'll take my brother.
Okay. Here's your last question. This is, wait a minute. Zach, have you won?
Wait.
You have won.
Oh, don't say that. I don't want any charity, or no charity, so I still want to answer it.
Okay. I am a 17-time NBA All-Star.
Kobe Bryant.
LeBron James.
Oh. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
It was LeBron. So the way it wraps up today, Zach with 3, Rodney with 2, Ronnie with 1, and Zach, that means congratulations. You are going to see the Chargers take on the Steelers Sunday night at SoFi Stadium. And for those of you that won't be there, you can catch all the action on Alt 98.7. Zach, enjoy your birthday and thanks for listening.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it big time. Take it easy.